You can be nothing else. Full of grace and mercy. Full of forgiveness. Full of love and compassion. Yet also holy. A God that will send judgment when necessary. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the privilege to continue in this book. That last book, Revelation, very fascinating, telling us how things are going to end, telling us that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, telling us how important it is to have the Word of God, not only in our hand, but our hearts and our minds. Living by the Word of God, every precept, every principle. That we too may be fearless witnesses, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, fearing no man, no demon, not even Satan. So I pray as we continue this morning that we will build a stronger foundation to stand upon, with which our Lord Jesus may work. May the glory of Almighty God shine more. May we understand it more and realize that when things do not seem good from our perspective, let us be quiet and be still. And watch God take a tragedy and turn it into glory. We'll see that in a moment. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every person here. Open their minds and open their hearts. And Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning. I'm not dependent upon my words nor my wisdom, but I ask for your wisdom and your words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, take your printout as we begin this morning. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, beginning with verse 7 and following. Title is The Antichrist and the Two Fearless Future Witnesses. I hope you have something to write with. We have some notes to take this morning as some added information also. Well, let's begin with the intro. Like all the prophets before them, these two end-time prophets will frustrate their enemies, and they're going to have many. Invulnerable and unstoppable for the duration of their God-empowered ministries, they will be impervious to assault. In other words, they cannot be assaulted in any way by any human being or demon. Yet when God says, mission accomplished, He will lift His hand of protection from them, that is the two witnesses. And their enemies will be permitted, that is allowed by God, according to His plan and agenda, to kill them physically. Well, let's begin with verse 7. When they, underline the word they. The word they refers to the two witnesses. The Greek, when you look it up, shows these are two well-known characters. Secondly, they are not angels. And thirdly, they are redeemed men on earth. When they have finished their testimony and given their evidence, the beast, that is the Antichrist, I'll give you the unholy trinity, which is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The beast, the Antichrist, that comes up out of the abyss, parentheses, the bottomless pit, will wage war, and God will allow that to happen at a specific particular time, will wage war with them, again, the two witnesses, and overcome them and kill them. Well, let's look at the word finished. The word finished, when you look it up, deals with divine decree. Now, what is divine decree? It is a predetermined purpose of God. A predetermined purpose of God. The purpose or determination of an immutable being whose plan of operation is like himself and that is unchanging. So the word finished refers to a divine decree. It refers to the Holy Trinity. So this divine decree coming from the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, was fixed in eternity past before anything was created or anything existed. So divine decree has fixed, underline the word fixed. The word fixed refers to that which is non-negotiable. It is not going to change. It has been set in eternity past by the Holy Trinity. From them came a divine decree that is non-negotiable. It has been fixed, and it has fixed the duration of ministry for the two witnesses. Now, their life is limited. I want you to turn to Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job chapter 14, verse 5. We're going to take what is given in reference to the two witnesses about the duration of ministry and that it is a fixed time that this is going to take place. There's also something else that is fixed that is non-negotiable. You cannot change it. I cannot change it. God is not going to change it. Job 14:5, our time on earth is brief. The number of our days is already decided by you, the living God. So here's something else to note. When will be the day of your last breath? When will be the day of your last breath? So finished has to do with divine decree. A predetermined purpose of God, and so is your life. A divine decree has fixed the duration of ministry for the two witnesses. Their work is completed. Their goal is reached. They have achieved their specific duty. Their divinely appointed task, which is of testifying concerning future events. Well, look at the word testimony. The Greek word for testimony is martoria. It is the same root from which we get our English words martyr and martyrdom. Originally, to be a martyr meant to give public testimony about the truth. But that public witness could lead to sealing that testimony with death. This is going to happen with the two witnesses. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. Are you the kind of witness that these two witnesses will be when they are put on planet Earth at God's specific and anointed time? These two martyrs of the future will follow their Savior and countless saints before them in the path of martyrdom for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a question. Will these two witnesses have any basis for personal boasting? How would you answer that one? No. The answer is no. Everything that set them apart, their incredible preservation, their miraculous powers, and their convicting preaching comes from the sovereign hand of Almighty God. There is nothing, after studying the Word of God, there is nothing, after reading the Word of God, that I can give all the glory to myself. I don't deserve any glory. You don't deserve any glory. If anything is done in a Christian way that God receives as temple worship and sacrifice, is all because it began with Him. Remember the Holy Spirit? He is given you at the moment of salvation. And what does He do? What's His purpose? It is to divinely persuade you to do what God has called you and gifted you to do. It is to divinely enable you to do what God has called you to do and gifted you. If anything is done in a spiritual way that is acceptable to Almighty God, it is not going to be done because of who I am or what I am capable of in the flesh. It is all because it originated with God. It got started with God. God carried His work out and through me. I am simply a vehicle. I am simply a mouthpiece for Almighty God. So God gets the glory for everything that is good because it all originated by Him and it came about by His divine power and nothing of me. I was nothing but a surrendered, submitted servant unto the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved me by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, by the Holy Spirit's teaching me and leading me, I am falling in love more and more with Jesus Christ. And the more I fall in love, the more I want God to do, so I can give God more and more and more glory of who He is. All right, back to the printout. Everything that set them apart, their incredible preservation, their miraculous powers, and their convicting preaching. Tell me, what can you say that will convict anybody? Well, I can speak the Word of God. I can be a witness using the Word of the living God. But my friends, the power to convict any human being will not come from you. It will come from the Word of God empowered by God Himself. The Word of God will not return void. Amen, amen, amen. So stay with the Word of the living God. God is sovereign, and God here turns tragedy into triumph. Stop. I can hear you turn. And I don't mind that, but I'm not done. How many times have you just moaned and groaned and whined over some tragedy in your life? I stopped when I got to this. I thought, Terry, you need to ask God, have you ever wanted to just sit down with God and ask questions? Yeah. Well, start doing it if you haven't. There's nothing wrong with reading Scripture and saying, God, why this and why that? He'll talk to you. Then you have to learn how to listen to God. You know how you do that? Be quiet when you get before Him. It's okay to talk to Him. It's okay to ask some questions and then start listening and stop reasoning. Two witnesses. For 3.5 years, they were awesome. They were powerful, unstoppable. But God, why did you bring them to such an undignified death? There's no dignity in the way they died. Lord, I'm a little bit concerned about my dignity. And I stopped right there, and then I answered my own question and said, I'm not concerned about my dignity. I'm concerned about the glory of God. And I'm learning that He took the tragedy of these two witnesses. It looked like a tragedy, so undignified. And He turned a tragedy into glory. There may be something in your life at this very moment that you're looking at it as a tragedy. Something that is terrible. You can't handle it. Will you take it to God? Will you read scripture pertaining to it? Will you talk to him, ask him some questions? And this just gets silent all of a sudden. Just get silent and say, I am listening. And God says everything's going to be okay. Quit looking at it from your perspective. I'm about to take this tragedy in your life and turn it into glory. He says, I allowed it to happen. And we're going to read about why he allowed it to happen to these two witnesses here in a moment. I want you to turn to page 2. Thank you. The beast, Therion. The beast here is a literal person. Remember, he's not an angel. He's a mere man. The beast here is a literal person. This man of sin will dominate international politics in the end times in a literal 7-year tribulation. Antichrist is rightly called a beast and will show his killer instinct after pretending, you might want to underline that one, pretending to have true compassion. You might want to underline that phrase, pretending to have true compassion, or that is support for Christian tradition. In reality, he is a vicious, godless opponent of the faith. I have something that you don't have. Just listen closely in reference to the beast. The beast. He is chaos against order. He is evil against good. He is death against life. The beast is the chief antagonist of the 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist is a member of the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He will be a Gentile. He will rule a 10-nation confederacy, Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Antichrist will oppose Israel in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist will be a human monster, a man with a ferocious nature. He will have a ravenous appetite. He will be a man of unreasoning violence that acts according to his own cruel nature. He will exalt himself to be worshipped in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. History has known monsters in the persons of Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, and Mao, among others. Question: why do we classify them as monsters? Because they sought to exterminate people en masse. This is precisely what the Antichrist will seek to do with Israel. Back to the printout. This is the beast that comes up out of the abyss. Don't let this throw you right here. The abyss is the haunt of demons. So the Antichrist, demonic orientation, will be satanic cunning and satanic deception, and that will be no and should be no surprise. Note, God allows the Antichrist to make war. God allows that. God allows a tragedy. God allows things to happen in your life, in my life, that if we'll just go to the Bible and pray like we ought to, then we can see God turn a tragedy into glory. But don't worry about your dignity. I don't care how you bury me. I've always said just put me in a pine box and I'll be just fine. I always told them, I said, you're just going to throw dirt on me anyway. So God allows the Antichrist to make war and conquer and kill, that is physical death, these witnesses. His power overrules theirs, but only temporarily, verses 8 and 9. And their dead bodies, their physically dead bodies. Now, if they have dead bodies, then what is no longer in that dead body? The soul and the spirit is gone. How do I know? Because we're going to read something in a moment that God is going to do that is going to cause dead bones to rise. And their dead bodies will be exposed. Underline the word exposed. It means unburied. They will be a worldwide display in the open street of the great city, Jerusalem, which in a spiritual sense is called by the symbolic and allegorical names of Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the people and tribes and languages and nations look at their dead bodies for 3.5 years. Days, I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction. I've got something dead on my mind here. My mind went dead. I'm going to read something to you about a body decomposition timeline. You know, I've read this over and I've read it over and I've read it over. I've read it many times. Their bodies are going to be in the streets for 3.5 days. And I never gave a second thought to it. So I started asking questions. A body after 3.5 days, what's the body going to look like? Is it going to be really pretty? Lord, would you leave me out on the streets for 3.5 days? For people to look at me in such a horrid condition? My gosh, at least let them embalm me, so I won't begin to deteriorate so fast and look so bad. I don't want everybody looking at me like that. I want you to know what you just read. Body decomposition timeline. 24 to 72 hours after death, the internal organs decompose. As soon as blood circulation and respiration stop, the body has no way of getting oxygen or removing waste. Excess carbon dioxide causes an acidic environment, causing membranes in cells to rupture. The membranes release enzymes that begin eating the cells from the inside out. 3 to 5 days. The body starts to bloat, and blood containing foam leaks from the mouth and the nose. Lord, I've been faithful for how many years? And this is the burial I get? This is the showing I get? There's no big words talking about my... These guys were two witnesses for 3.5 years. Hey, give them a hand. Why were they witnesses for 3.5 years? Because of God's sovereignty. It was the hand of God in their life. It was the understanding that He gave them. He'll give it to you. That's why I don't care where I die. It's not about me. God gets the glory. When my dad died, he said, Terry, don't get up there and talk about me. I didn't do anything great. God saved me. God worked in and through my life. I gave God the glory. That's why I prayed when I sat down to eat. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this table that I sit at. And thank you for the food that is upon it. And thank you for the roof over my head. To God be the glory. Amen. So when Terry Davis walks out of here one day, not a word of what I did. Because I didn't do nothing. God did it all. Give Him the glory. But there's something about those dead bodies, and it means the soul and the spirit's done left it. That's the glory I want to see. That's the glory I want to step into. That's the glory that I want to know. I'm headed for glory. So I don't care about this down here. Let her ride. And their dead bodies will be exposed. So what? I'm not there. I'm gone. In the open street of the great city. And you have what? Peoples, tribes, languages, and nations. 3.5 days, they will be a spectacle for all races and nations as they look at the dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. Number one, it will be worldwide news when these two witnesses with supernatural powers die in Jerusalem. Notice the wickedness of the city is highlighted. Question one, will the death of the two witnesses become worldwide news? Yes, no problem. How long will their dead bodies lie in the street? 3.5 days. Jerusalem is referred to spiritually as Sodom, a reference to wickedness, and Egypt, a reference to the enslavement of God's people because she has rejected Christ. She has committed apostasy. At this time, some will be saved, and some from every ethnic group will also harden their hearts against God. Page 3. What is the Antichrist interested in? Showing he, underline the word he. I want you to remember and never forget, the Antichrist is a created being. So how can a created being be more powerful than his creator? It doesn't happen. Showing he is superior in power to God's two witnesses. Remember what he does, God has allowed him to do it. Verse 10, and those non-believers, the unbelieving world, the Christ rejectors, those who say, I don't need Jesus, I'm my own little God, thank you. And I can handle life on my own, which is a lie straight out of hell. And those non-believers who live on the earth will gloat. Underline the word gloat. It means they will act in a fiendish way, in a childish way, showing their utter depravity. They will gloat over them, the two witnesses, and rejoice. Well, we're getting close, aren't we? Well, do you see gloating over Christianity now? You can just nearly see this yourselves taking place. You have already. And it's going to get worse. I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. We'll gloat over them and rejoice, and they will send gifts in celebration to one another. This is wild joy being celebrated. I mean wild with joy, wild with hatred. Will gloat over them and rejoice, and they will send gifts in celebration to one another because these two prophets tormented and troubled them with supernatural judgments who live on the earth. Here's what they would say. We can't live the way we want with you two people, you two witnesses. We are tired of you troubling our conscience, our sin. It's like saying, Terry, you need to go. We're tired of listening to this stuff. Well, if you're tired of listening, something's wrong with you. Amen. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them. And they stood on their feet. And great fear and panic stricken and terrified, they fell on those who were watching them. And the two witnesses heard a loud voice from heaven, here comes the glory. Here comes the glory. Do what you want to do to me on planet Earth, because when it's time to go up, brother, you're going up in style. I promise you that. And the two witnesses heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up. Then they ascended into heaven in the cloud. Wow. And their enemies watched them. Verses 11 and 12. Go back to that a minute. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God. Underline that phrase. Don't want to miss it. The breath of life from God. Why did they need the breath of life from God? What did He breathe into them that they had to have? Soul and spirit, didn't He? All right. Now I want you to write down something. What did the breath of life from God bring here? The breath of God will bring about resurrection life. And listen, a life the grave cannot hold. A life the grave cannot hold. Back to the printout. And in that hour, verse 13, that very hour, there was a great earthquake. And a tenth of the city fell and was destroyed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the rest who survived were overcome with terror, and they glorified. Now listen to this. Don't get too proud of these people. When you look up this word, it means it was simply a recognition of God's power, not from the heart. In other words, they're scared to death, and this is what God gets out of them, and that's it. Glorified the God of heaven as they recognize His awesome power. As God often does, in this instance, He will allow negative events to occur because those events will bring, don't miss this one, underline it, Him, not you, not me, but Him, greater glory. So next time you want to moan and groan and kick a fit, kick the dog or the cat, would you remember to just take it to the Lord? He says, you know what? Just settle down. I'm about to take your tragedy and turn it into my glory. Father, we love you. We thank you for teaching us things we must and need to know to live according that we will truly be thankful and appreciative for who you are. In all ways. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for never leaving us. Thank you for giving us resurrection life, a life that the grave cannot hold. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.